There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier, Marvel Adventures Alliance number one news source. As soon as I started to speak, my own voice was loud in my ear, so I was like, I don't want to do my normal blast out, because if it's loud to me, I'm sure it's loud to you guys as well. And I'm sitting in the intro, goofing off with the camera, like trying to lean over Kiss Klotz, because he is now on camera!
Yay!
Oh, we're so excited to this improvement. Don't be all Klotz-like. I am Epic Boss McFall. It is now September. Do you guys know what September means?
No. What does September mean?
Well, it's Dragon Con, of course. We get to do that here in a few days. Then it is World Peace Day, which happens to be the same day as my birthday.
Oh, cool.
So it's the birthday month. So the links have been shared. You guys get out there. Now, Ibbet, the man who arguably has everything, hides his birthday from us. We have to piece together things like a mystery to go, oh, yeah, he said one time he was in Vegas because of this thing. That just happened. Your birthday was like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
It was. It was actually the day that I was in, or the last day that I was in Salt Lake City for Nerdtacular was my birthday. So I it's not a matter of hiding it. I just don't care enough to broadcast it.
Well, you know, I do because I get nice, cool stuff like this from Travis Jones, my favorite Deadpool thing. And, and everybody's awesome and fun, and people wish me happy birthday. And it's a lot of fun. But it's also, it is actually World Peace Day, which I thought was awesome.
Nice. Like that, you know what? For your birthday, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one day of world peace.
Let's all get along.
Just one day, though.
But that just one day, they just blow it up. So, as we mentioned, on the camera and on a new microphone, Soapbox Klotz.
Hello.
What you gotta be like that?
I gotta pull a Kaufman there.
Yeah. Well, do you have something?
No. You go ahead.
I will. McFall. Okay, I'll try. I'm so distracted by the glory of your beautiful, you know, manly man beard there. It's amazing. I've had to get certain comments out of my system because it'll get old and people think I'm mocking you, and I'm totally not. I'm totally just in awe of this amazing thing that you have going on. But that's not what this show is about. We are about the news from Marvel Avengers Alliance, and we have some headlines.
We do. Here's what we're going to be talking about today on the show. Pre-VPP PvP has been launched. There's like there's some armory items and sorry, I just fell asleep there. Also, the fifth element, the fifth weapon slot, has been released, and we'll talk about that and how it absolutely obliterates the meta and basically makes you rethink about your PvP battles, your PvP loadout. And Blizzard comes to Playdom. I'm not talking about the video game company. I'm talking about the character.
I totally missed that for a second. Like, what? That's awesome. Oh, wait. No,
with the new ice boxes that you can get, as well as a new change to the way we do dailies, or at least some changes to the way we do dailies. Some improvements, some changes, and some changes.
changes.
Exactly. Speaking of David Bowie albums, what else is on sale, Paul?
We have Spider-Gwen still available if you didn't get her yet. We talked about her before. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. We have the Hexenjäger, which is a gold item for 64 gold that was available about almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
No, it was in March of 2014. So about 18 months ago. It's a Hexenjäger. It has a, some cool applications.
it's the Enchantress killer is basically.
Yeah, what it is. Yeah. I bought it back when it first came out.
Well, Enchantress in a gun, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. And back then it wasn't so good, but the meta has changed severely since then, so it does have its place now. But yeah, that's available for 64 gold. So if you missed it in March of 2014, it is now available.
Yeah, let's talk really quickly about that too, because the effects of it, and it's only on sale for just a few more days, but it causes burning. It's a single enemy attack. It causes burning.
I was holding that back.
It causes itching and swellness. And not so fresh feeling.
Is it for working out? Does it make you swole? Yes.
Creatine in a gun.
All right. So it causes burning. It causes cower, a 20% chance to fail. Here's the cool thing, though, for Enchantress teams is it applies Hot Seat, which gives you soul fire and causes additional damage when magic abilities are used. And Scarlet Witch, Enchantress, they're all about is magic. So having it cause some extra damage on them, it's a pretty good thing. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's definitely better than the what's it gonna have now that's magic warding that I have to keep in my stupid PvP team because
with the Skeptic?
Skeptic, yeah. It's definitely better because it's got the magic warding, but it's got all that other great stuff with it, too. I think it's better than the Skeptic. And, you know, Daddy's all out of money right now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, magic warding, you know, there's only two pieces of gear, the Skeptic and the Hexenjaeger, that'll prevent it. You can also, if you're in PvE, you can use the Arcane Component if you've got it. But it prevents Cursed Mirror, Meteor Swarm, Bane, Crimson Bands, Dark Void, Death Frost, Doom, Hexed, Soulfire, the Curse of Anglebob, and Trickster. All those things are blocked by magic warding. So, you know, against Enchantress, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. that's just, you know, they released too many good things at once.
Mm-hmm.
They released some good characters, and I'm digging 29.9. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. They released the fifth element, like you said, and we'll get to that.
They released alts for Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch a few weeks ago. I mean, it's all spendy. It's a very, very spendy game right now.
It is. But this all, it's not like I could tell you, hey, don't worry about the gun, focus on this, focus on that. No, I did what we would encourage people is like, hey, I made sure to get the EISOs for my agent that replicated Scarlet Witch's alt and replicated Quicksilver's alt. Mm-hmm. And those are gold only. That was a total of 60 gold. Mm-hmm. And then they released a gold only slot. And then they released a gold only weapon that's like, how much, I don't, it's your, you're hurting me, Plato. You're hurting me good, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Juggernaut. My Juggernaut just destroyed my Hyperion.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice. Yeah. I didn't realize he was distracted or whatever it was that made him do it. He just smashed the crap out of Hyperion. Oh, sorry.
Whoops.
My bad. Anyway.
Whoopsie.
What else do we have? Is that all the sales? Or are we good?
Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah, there's not a whole lot on sale right now, but what is on sale is worth getting. Now, I've not played with Spider-Gwen yet, but definitely the Hexenjaeger. Damn your eyes, Platum. You put a gold sale on right after the EISOs expired. So I spent
no way.
$20
it's almost,
straight dollars.
It's almost as if they planned that.
I know. I know, right? I spent $20 straight to get gold, used 30 of it to get, I think the one I needed was a Scarlet Witch one. I don't remember which, but I got one of the other ones, finished it up, because I earned enough gold on the first one. And it was 64 gold. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit on this for a while. And now we're into the current events. Then the fifth element dropped. Yeah, the weapon slot dropped. I'm like, okay, for the show, even if I had my doubts, which I don't, for the show, I'm going to go ahead and get it. People want to know what our opinion on it is. So I went and bought it, and damn your eyes if they didn't just drop a gold sale, which I would have gotten more gold for my buck, and the Hexenjaeger. Are you trying to get the Super Spartans to leave too? I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's you know, there's no shortage, or there wasn't any shortage for a while, of things to spend your hard-earned money on, your CP, your gold, whatever. And we'll talk more about the fifth slot, but boy, it's interesting to see the reports come back from early PvP that only 39% of people actually have the fifth slot. That
well, a lot of people resisted because they didn't like the second training room being gold. I know a lot of people were, a percentage of the population, if you will, were vocal about how they didn't want to pay gold for a fifth slot, and so there's always going to be those holdouts anyway. Right. I think roughly 40% adoption rate is pretty high.
Mm-hmm. That is exceptionally high.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Really quickly, too, since we brought up the gold sale, along with the gold sale this time around, there was another new weapon called the Peace Pulser. This was a multiple attack weapon, a multi-function attack weapon. But it also is, it's got a couple all enemies. Actually, it's got one all enemies attack, one all allies buff, weirdly disguised buff, and then a targeted single enemy. So the first action is Peace Pulser Fire, which targets one enemy with a ranged gun attack with sharp recoil that applies targeted and superior firepower, which has a chance to apply intimidated, melt armor, and shell shocked. Action 2 is an all-enemy attack with Despair and Game Over, which has a chance to apply Near Fatal.
Now, if I understand, it's not to interrupt, because there was something else that had Near Fatal I was playing with the other day. I can't remember if it was a character or what, but I saw that, it has a possibility to apply Near Fatal. Is that something that stays on you, and then when you hit 20%, you die? Because Fatal Blow is you have to be under 20%. And I was doing a PvE or something, and I honestly don't remember what it was I was using that did the near fatal. And then I hit them, they weren't dead. And then all of a sudden I thought I saw fatal blow go up and they disappeared. And I'm like, I'm not sure what near fatal.
I mean, it's means. Like fatal. It's basically fatal blow, and it's got a 40% chance to take, to trigger 40% chance to trigger. And it's a, you know, obviously it's the same as Fatal Blow, defeats normal enemies with less than 20% health and greatly damages bosses with less than 20% health. So it's...
is applied. Onotopia is saying Near Fatal is applied on the enemy. And right. that makes sense. I am training up Hyperion, and they're like, hey, Hyperion has Near Fatal. I'm like, hey, you expect me to remember out of 2,000 characters what each one does? You know, you haven't met
me. Is that kind of basically what we're looking at, is a Hyperion weapon? Because
it sounds like, maybe.
Right. And then the third action, only three actions in this multifunction. Third one is Short Controlled Bursts. That is an ally buff. It targets your allies with Short Controlled Bursts, a buff that makes the next range attack a quick action. So if you're using ranged attacks, that's great. Like if you've got a very range attack heavy team, then that can be a big benefit.
That, again, on paper, this weapon sounded really, really good. I know the weather control device turned out to be really good. What was the Small Hadron Collider, I think, was the last one.
I love the Small Hadron Collider in my PvP team. Yeah, it's been fantastic. And I really just use one. I only use one of the three multi-functions in that one, too. But it's a great all-enemy ground attack that causes aftershock and foreshock are nice.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so Plato, to really be competitive, am I gonna have to drop $50 each month, you know, or will these weapons balance and not be meta breakers? Because the Hadron Collider and weather control device, I don't think were meta breakers, but they felt really close to that mark. And you had to spend $50 or more. I mean, if you were in other countries, the currency exchange is different. So I think in Australia it's $70 versus $50 US.
Right.
So yeah,
it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to try this with, especially now that we got a fifth gear slot, to try the Peace Pulser with the Vorpal Blade, because the Vorpal Blade had a an all ally buff that gave them Snickersnack, which makes the next melee attack a quick action.
Oh,
so
nice.
Like, you know, if you've got, you know, basically you can just keep feeding your team extra turns to do melee attacks and range attacks with the snickersnack and the short control bursts. I think I'm just going to play just so I can keep going snickersnack.
Oh.
No.
Lol.
Lol.
I lolled.
And I was just looking at Hyperion on his third level attack. It definitely applies. It says applies near fatal. It says two rounds. So it is something you can stick on somebody. And if they hit 20% in those two rounds, they will die, which is very interesting. That's an interesting technique to use.
It is, sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Samuel 8 in the chat room, Nikolai basically reminds us that, yeah, you go ahead and use those quick actions in the current environment, Brian. Good luck with that.
I haven't used multiple quick action devices. I know there's been reports that with the newest patch, again, it threw a quick act. If you use a quick action before a free action, it locks the free action out, which is not what it's supposed to do.
Right.
And actually it's never supposed to lock anything out. It's supposed to, let's say if you have two quick action tools, it's supposed to take the quick action off of the second to make it a normal action is what the effect is supposed to have. But
right,
what happens is supposedly it locks it out. Like you can't use it.
Right. Right.
So it is what it is. Yeah, there's definitely been some smaller issues with these patches, and you know, let's roll into the dailies and what we're doing with this pre-VP.
Okay,
I found it interesting that they loaded up the dailies with supposedly a lot of new weapons. I saw the picture, mm-hmm. And if the picture is correct, that was in the lounge. Then I would consider that a lot of weapons. That they
it is, yeah,
added
it's
to it.
64 or something. I can't remember how many chart had on it, but and it's each, well, I wouldn't even say it's each spin of the roulette has one of those items on it, because I did, this was great. Yesterday was EISO day, and I went through over and over and over and did the daily several times until I five-starred it. But there were times where I got the roulette and there was not a junk item. It was all EISOs.
I saw that once. I saw other people's pictures. One time I had a junk item, which of course I got.
Which of course you got, right?
But the day before that, there was CP day. And mm-hmm. I was like, awesome. I have time to actually play today. And I do like that they're tying in with PvP. They're getting you into the habit of playing the dailies again. Hey, we've added stuff. Hey, we've made it different. And kind of not so much. But on CP day, I think I saw Nikolai post this. Somebody posted that I don't know if they were supposed to remove the large energy from somewhere. Like if they said, hey, we're removing it. I honestly don't know if that was the case. But I do know that somebody put in, well, not only did they not remove the large energy middle finger from the roulette, apparently they extra weighted it. And sure enough, that day when I logged in, my daily got me a large energy. When I fought my 5 PvP, that got me a large energy. Then I went through multiple times on CP day to get CP because I'm trying to recruit new heroes, right?
Right.
I went through so many damn times. Every single time was a large energy. Every single time.
Wow.
That's all I got on Sunday. And I vented to Klotz before we got on because I was like, I don't want to be that guy on the show. We're trying to make this happier, positive, more, you know, better experience for everybody. But I said some words that was very, very unhappy with that day because it's frustrating. It's like, I get every once in a while it being, you know, it comes up, but it didn't give me a large PvP energy. It didn't give me a useless EISO, or not EISO, it didn't give me a useless ISO. Straight up 8, 9, 10 times it gave me large energy. Like it's been probably a year since I used large energy. Mm-hmm. Because I collect small energies everywhere. I have like 5,000 small energies, so I just click on those.
Exactly. Anytime you need them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I use, I'll burn through the large energy if I know I'm going to be playing for a while. Usually if there's a spec ops, I don't want to run out of energy. I might run out of UISO, but I don't want to run out of energy. And I know I'm going to play through filling the bar at least once. So it's like, all right, yeah, I'll do a large energy here. It doesn't, you know, it's not like one of them has a benefit over the other. But, right. But if you know you're, you know, like, oh, yeah, I've only got 10 more minutes, I only get one more fight in, then you'll just top yourself off enough to be able to have 10 to do one more regular fight. But if you know you're going to be playing for a while, use up a large.
I just saw a question in the thing. Agent Arena says, my question is, why isn't Noir out yet? Deathlock was out 2 weeks after his PvP season. What is taking them so long to release Noir? I don't know why Deathlock was out 2 weeks before or after his PvP season. I actually didn't notice the time frame. Mm-hmm. But the standard written release is 90 days, which is 3 months. So right. It's typically when it first initiated, it typically worked out that you do a PvP, it would end, and then there would be a Spec Ops and something else, and then another PvP season, and at the end of that next PvP season, be roughly 90 days later, and that's when it would drop. Yeah,
right. Be interesting to see, though, if... All right, so we've gotten all these new Spider characters lately, and we're going to talk about Spider-Man 2099 as well. But Spider-Gwen, Spider-Girl... You think we're going to get, like in the next Spec Ops, do you think it's going to be either a runaway situation where we have to use all Spider-related characters, or at the very least, it's going to be Spider-related characters for all of the forced deploys to get the Epic Boss? So we could need Spider-Gwen for the Epic Boss, for example. I'd say that's
hard to read. It's definitely hard to read. Klotz, what do you think?
I don't know.
So apparently he can only manage one thing at a time, a camera or a microphone. We can't do both.
No, I can do both. I just I went to sleepy time for a while there.
Oh, did you?
No, we can see you. You didn't go to sleep at all. You're enjoying the conversation.
I think he paused. He figured out how to pause his camera on when his eyes were open.
Nicole, like you are aware that I have a 27-inch monitor with multiple windows open.
I'm sure.
And I can do other things, right?
I know you're doing other things.
So I can look like I'm loving everything that you're saying, and I could just be like reading comics or something.
Playing Rocket League. Or
that's something. Awesome.
I do not have strong feelings on the previous topic at this time.
Good enough.
Well, if it is a runaway situation, I think they have a much better pool of characters to pull from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can pull like Agent Venom and Hybrid and Anti-Venom and Spider-Man and Ultimate and Superior, blah, 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 you know, and the rest, that'd be a much better situation than five runaways to choose from. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So it's going to be interesting. Either way, you should recruit them because so far they've been decent. Now, I haven't gotten Spider-Gwen yet. I think she's the one that's straight recruit. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten the CP to recruit her yet, and I've heard that she hits like a wet blanket. But
I think she's better than Spider-Girl. I've been running 2099 Spider-Gwen and Spider-Girl to get them leveled up and just basically taking them through mission one the newest chapter, mission one, over and over and over again, just to level them and to try and get some of those EISOs. And boy, you know, Spider-Gwen is great, but Spider-Girl just is just piff, 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 you know, her attacks. So I'm not a big fan so far.
And they did ask in the chat room what we thought of 2099. And I recruited him over Spider-Gwen because he's 2099. You know, why not? And on paper, he sounded really cool. And mine is only level 4 maybe. And I'm taking him through these runs with level 14s. And he's just holding his own. He is that Cortana-type Halo device he has, yeah. That does its thing.
The pre, right.
Yeah, oh, my God. That thing procs all the time. And no, before people start going, oh, they're going to nerf it. I don't see why they would nerf it. It doesn't actually do anything that breaks the meta. You know, it puts mirror on everybody, and which is a chance to dodge. And I forget what it puts on the enemy, all enemies. But it's always a chance. And it doesn't always work. But it really is cool when it does work. And I'm looking forward to unlocking his third and fourth level powers, which I guess would be sixth and ninth, depending on how.
Right. Yeah. His six is pretty good. I haven't gotten his nine unlocked yet. And actually, same with Spider-Girl and Spider-Gwen. I will say this, that for Spider-Girl, her level six power definitely improves the one and the two. So
cool.
But yeah, Virgo's got it right in the chat room. It's 2099 is better than Spider-Gwen is better than Spider-Girl.
2099 that was a great release. That was fun. The artwork is great.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have a character come out of the gate and be viable is such a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And these spiders, and I wonder if it's because the guys who are doing it love the spiders more. We know that Wood likes Spider-Man, likes the Spider-Verse hugely. So I'm wondering if they've just put more effort into it, because Noir came out of the gate holding his own. And I love running him. He's almost 14 now for me.
Yeah. He's great too.
So I was building a team, and actually still am. By the way, I've got two in my training room right now going to 15. So I'm very happy about that. It just happened to work out. Sandman, who I've always been a huge fan of, and I know he's got the new EISO in his heroic. And I think there might even be an EISO out there for him. I can't remember. But I know that he was always a favorite of mine. And teaming him up with some of these buff weapons that I have on my hero now with the fifth slot, I'm going to start prepping him for my PvP team because he really suits how I like to run. And I'm suiting him up with Juggernaut, who is on his way to training to 15. He's leveling up to 15 because the two of them together is really a smash and smash team. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome. But while Sandman is training, I've been running 2099 with Juggernaut. No, I'm like, okay, now I might want to rethink that because 2099 is really awesome too. And he adds a lot to the team. Which I guess comes down to, you can play with any hero you want, but this fifth slot is supposed to change the game. What do you think about it, Ibbet?
It definitely changes the game. I mean, it's it allows you now to use all of the pieces of a decent set and the cube or the weather control device or the Small Hadron Collider. I mean, it basically kind of lets you have the best of both worlds. And it was always a choice. It was always Sophie's choice before whether you could have, oh, I really like, you know, these pieces of the, or I really like having the whole demon set, but I want to have such and such piece be part of it. And having that fifth slot, I mean, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like we're going to get spoiled by that. You know, it's like, why make the choice anymore? Now you don't have to, now you can have all the things you want in there. I'm curious to see what it's going to do to bring out some of those other sets that were not considered viable because they were missing one key element. And now you can say, all right, now I can have the chess set and I can add this one piece that the chess set was really missing. You know, a healing item, for example. So, I mean, so many of those sets are lacking a healing item. The demon set's great because it's got the signpost. But now you can, you know, do some of these other sets and throw in the biometric ID card or the, what's another good healing item? Nobody uses the,
You said the biometric ID card, which is not a good healing item.
It's an auto proc. It's not great. I mean, it just barely tops you off, but
the staff of Asclap was good.
There we go. Yeah. Asclepios is great. Yeah. Right. Cause that also gives you an extra turn too, or can give one of your, give your heroes an extra turn. That's a good addition. Demon set with cube is what Re71 is suggesting. There's a lot of new great weapon sets that we haven't even discovered yet that this opens up, and
which means it leaves them open to building new sets with five pieces now.
It does, and we've had that too. We've had five set five item sets. The Spider-Verse set, you know, again, there's three pieces of that are really good. You know, having the rapier, the, what was it? The goggles and the spider sense, I'm forgetting the names of them, but you know, now you can have a couple other pieces in there as well to go with them, like a nanite nail gun, or you know, there's all these different, again, there's all these different combos now that we're going to start seeing, and it totally has turned the what we were considering to be the typical set on its ear.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I honestly maybe just had a misconception of what it should do, but I did buy it instantly, and you know, of course, I threw in different weapons. I've tried different weapon sets, but going to this PvP, and I kind of expected it to be, you know, superhuman, right? Back in the day, back in the early days of PvP, if you upgraded your armory halfway through, you would see a major push up, right? If you train somebody, if they were in training and you started a PvP season, things were tough, and then they come out of training and you get that bonus and you get to throw them right back into the fight or whatever, you would see it. You'd feel like superhuman for a little bit. It's like, oh, look at this. I leveled up my system. And I kind of was – it's not that way so much anymore. I mean, it just automatically adjusts pretty quickly. If you fill up your armory with high-end stuff, then more than likely they're just going to put you against high-end armories.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the training. It tends to be that way. But it's like fifth weapon slot. Okay, and I didn't know the percentages. But, you know, if you're talking about who you play against as 100%, 40% of people using a fifth weapon slot, there's a good chance I'm going to smash a whole lot of people who don't have it. That hasn't been the case. I'm wondering what they're testing in PvP. Is it, let's turn on a switch now, not just McFall, main air player, but now McFall wins. Now I'm going to turn off a switch and make him arbitrarily lose no matter what. And now it's back on, and now it's back. Let's see if he quits the game. Is that what you're testing? Because that's what it feels like in the offense part. What's the weird part is the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten more wins than losses on defense on PvP.
Are you still early? Like, are you still like pre-vibranium?
No,
like,
I'm
diamond.
It actually, no, my defense actually got me into adamantium. My offense pulled me out of adamantium.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, not majorly. I'm talking about coming into 18 up and 3 up, but I'm going to look at the battle report and I'm winning more than I'm losing. So I'm still coming up to a little bit of up. And this morning, last night I was in vibranium. This morning I log in, I had, you know, 10 up. Hey, you're in adamantium. I fought 2 battles. Hey, you're in vibranium because you lost. Because the fifth weapon slot still doesn't stop the Quick Lord crazy ass team that all of a sudden just wipes you out. And I'm like,
Quick Lord or oh Union my God. Jack and Quick Lord.
I've run those
Union
teams.
Jack and Star Lord.
No, God, Union Jack and Quick Lord would be just a nightmare.
Yeah. Yes, in addition to a fifth weapon slot, now you've got a third hero slot.
And now on top of that, the little running away guy is just again, you know, the agent with a tear in his eye. He's just going, but it's like I've run that team on offense. In fact, my defense, I'll tell you what it is. It's one of those teams. It's Rocket and Union Jack with a couple of counter, you know, pre-counter and counteractive items. I run that on offense, and I couldn't get into Vibranium. I'm running it on defense, and it's like I can't lose. I don't understand. What are you testing, Platinum? Because you're making me
you're
crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I haven't had any problems in offense. Some defensive wins when I come back. So usually it's almost always green numbers, but it's never more than like 15, 20 positive in green numbers. So,
yeah, it's not we'll huge, see. But you know, a little bit.
And it's early on in PvP and PvP. So as we start getting into the higher levels, well, as I start getting to the higher levels, maybe I'm going to see more losses. With PvP, we'll talk about this next. Blizzard recruitable lockbox character and daily rewards. So they've bundled in PvP and the daily. We talked a little bit about this at the top of the show. One of the things that I did notice, and it's funny because it took Uncle George pointing this out to me, is that for a while the daily was giving crap points. Like it normally what would give you 2 stars in a daily run, a single run through, was barely even getting you 1 star. And apparently this was going on for a while. And probably about the time that they launched this Blizzard lockbox business, they might have addressed that. Because ever since the lockbox daily missions, I've been, you know, I get 2 stars on the first run through. get to the middle of the third star on the second run through, and usually can do the whole thing, get it up to 5 stars in about 6 runs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
I quit playing for so long, I didn't know that the point.
Yeah, I know. I didn't notice it either. I hadn't done the daily in a long time, and apparently George has and noticed that and says, yeah, why haven't you guys talked about this on From the Helicarrier? And I said, probably because none of us are playing the daily missions anymore. There was so much else to do that, you know, Chapter 9 and a couple spec ops and PvP that dailies, it's just too little reward for too much effort.
Well, come on, Taco Tuesdays really needs to disappear. It's just, I can't, and maybe this is the super Spartan in me, but I can't even imagine being back at level 100 and still caring about food items. Yeah. Food items that I don't even understand how to use properly, like the glazed ham from the Three Stooges.
The Warriors Three, yeah. Well, it basically makes your, whoever you feed the glazed ham to becomes a member of the Warriors Three.
Yeah, but you have to dig deep into the alcoves to find that out, you know? It doesn't tell you that in the description.
That's how you use it. You eat it.
Have I mentioned how glad I am that you're here today, Clive?
I know, we could just every once in a while look over and see his smiling face, but is he alive? Is he awake? Is he...
Well, it's funny, as a minute ago, I was looking at the live Skype video, which is a little bit ahead of obviously the broadcast, and about that time, he looked at the camera like, yeah, I'm looking at you.
Nice. I'm just here to troll.
You know what? I'll take it. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. Today, I'm just here to troll. You guys have been born some rambling men.
Yeah. It's because we play the game.
Oh, that is true. That is fair criticism.
All right, so let's see. Looking down the list here, we've talked about Pre-VP, Fifth Element, Blizzard, Spider-Man 2099. I feel like we've covered in depth. Anything more to say about 2099?
No,
other than glad that he's here.
Get him.
Yeah, he's worth picking up.
He's awesome.
You know, one thing occurs to me. The only problem with the 2099 concept mm-hmm. is that after a few years of doing those comics, don't you think they've run out of time in that year alone?
It's really, it by should now be like 2100. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think they thought about that.
No, and it is a weird number to pick just because it sounds so cool. 2099.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also that it started in the 90s, so it was like that date was never going to happen.
Right. Didn't it start in 1999? Wasn't that?
Might have been.
And it was just like, here's 100 years in the future, X-Men. And
I think it was a little before that, but let me do a little research.
Okay.
I got to say, out of all of the 99s, 2099s, The Punisher, to me, was by far the best.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah.
My roommate just got a free issue of Punisher 2099 over last weekend. The local comic shop was handing out packets of 2 comic books for free to people.
Wow.
Who came to a local convention. And I got handed some, like, really kind of trashy, like, real fringe independent stuff. And he gets handed, like,
2099.
He gets handed Punisher 2099 and a Weapon X comic. I'm like, what the So I found a kid and handed him those trashy comics and gave him them. Started in 1992, somebody said.
Yeah, there we go,
Yeah, I thought it was definitely earlier than that.
It's a lot earlier, wow.
I remember it being around when I was, like, young, just getting into comic books, so.
Okay, interesting.
Our stream just went down, too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it's still showing streaming for me. I mean, on the XSplit.
Look, it's just a CVE, people. Refresh your feeds. It'll be fun. Actually, I am going to try that. We'll refresh here. I know we talked about Avalanche a little bit. I don't know if I care.
About what?
About having Avalanche. You know, the whole complaint about him was, I don't remember if it was a complaint about him or a complaint about Bobby, but the complaint was you just recycled his animations. He's basically a bad Iceman, or Iceman's a good Avalanche.
Oh, you're talking about Blizzard.
Sorry. Yes, Blizzard.
Yeah, I tried to help you out there, man.
I didn't think you were talking. I'm sorry. I didn't think you were.
Sometimes I'm not fast enough to push you out of the way of the bus, man.
No, no.
Okay. Sometimes I get there just in time to make sure you go under the tires.
I'll take it. Blizzard, yes. Do any one of you care that Blizzard's going to be in the game now or in the playable?
I care. No. I care in the fact that it's a lockbox character that is easy to get. That is something that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like he'd be easier.
Well, yeah, because they have the events for him, and you get one for every battle that you do. So, yeah, I like that. I like it when they do it like that.
And it is, yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, it is the animation of Iceman, basically just rehashed. Ice Beam, single enemy attack, chilled attack, stun bleeding targets. Okay, so if you're bleeding, then it. Chilled attack, stun bleeding targets. So chilled. So if they're bleeding, this will stun them, their first attack. Second attack causes bleeding. It's still a one enemy deal. Shield breaker and exposed. Third is applies frigid enemies with chilled. Causes grounded, frozen, and flanked. It's an all enemy attack. And then the last one is an all enemy attack, a ground attack. That exploits chill, exploits bleeds. So it looks like actually out of all the characters that we've gotten in a while, this one has, looks like a fairly specific order, right? You'll do his level 2 first, mm-hmm. cause bleeding, then you'll do a level 1 stun, and then a level 9 to do a ground attack that exploits both chilled and bleeds.
That, yeah. It's kind of like with a... set you up for with the spider heroes with the first level webbing does this, the second level webbing does that. It's, even though it's the same attack for Spider-Man versus doing something different for Blizzard, then it definitely sounds like you can play him a couple different ways. But the build-up should be the way you should. It seems like that's the way they want you to do it.
Right, right. Interesting. Okay, well, yeah, we'll see. We got, what, about a week and a half before we can start opening our lockboxes. And you're getting a minimum... of 5 a day. No, I take that back, because you get the task gives you 5, right? So you get a minimum.
You get a minimum of 10. So
minimum of 10, because 5 battles that reward one each, and then 5 just for completing the task, and then you might still get more via the roulette.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
I'm sitting at 55 now.
We got, so I got 64.
You must have hit a roulette a couple of times, possibly. Because I don't think I've missed anything, but I've only hit the roulette once. So, yeah, that's about right. It's a 15-day run. There's 10 days left, so there you go. Mm-hmm. I like how they're making it easier. And I like this method. It's like, okay, if you're going to force me into doing something I don't want to do, at least give me some cool stuff for it, and they are. And the thing is, I don't want to play the daily every day. But I am, because it's going to give me an extra 5 lockboxes. Essentially, I mean, it's the daily combined with the 5 PVPs,
which you're going to do anyway. So basically, you just have to spend a couple minutes to do the
exactly,
which is awesome. Like, allow me to applaud this.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good
change, or at least, you know, event. I guess is the right word. I dig it. I did it today. I now have 10 lockboxes. Feels great. And I'm going to continue to do it every day.
Cool. Hey, you know what? This is the Klotz effect. He's like, you know, I just don't want to play anymore. And Plato's like, no. Here, we'll throw you some lot boxes, Klotz. Come back and play, man. Come back and play. We'll put little robot cars in that you can smash Avalanche with or Blizzard or anybody you want to hit.
Yeah, man.
I also like the short time span of the pre-VP. I mean, the fact that it's just 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It means it's going to be a pisser if we need more than, you know, more than the lockboxes we get from this to recruit Blizzard. But, you know, it'd be great. Here's what they should do. They should just give you the ability, if you've got a certain number of lockboxes, let's say you've got 150 lockboxes, just buy them outright. You don't need to open lockboxes.
You don't need to play the task.
Right, just buy them. Just here you go. You have 150 or more lockboxes. Boom. Here you go. Here's Blizzard. I guess then you run the risk of not getting any other items. Forget that.
This is true. You don't get the 10,000 silver for repeats, and you definitely don't get the the weapons or
additional
whatever
items
there.
And ISOs and stuff like that. Yeah. You know what? Bad idea. Forget that idea. Let's move on to the next thing, which is Spider-Verse. Again, Spider-Verse Part 2, Spec Ops. It could launch anytime. It's, again, wait until the end of the day to collect your ally gifts and things, because that could be a task. But just kind of a reminder that, hey, you know, with all this other embarrassment of riches that we've gotten recently from Playdom, we could be getting a new Spec Ops any day now. They've never been shy about releasing it during the show here. So maybe we'll get it today during the show. Lastly, I want to announce we're going to do another giveaway to our patrons.
What?
And I'm throwing this guy in right here. It is the Secret Wars t-shirt that came in my collector's core box. It is still wrapped in plastic, as they said on Twin Peaks. but it's got, you know, the Miles Spider-Man. It's got Falcon, Captain America, the White Iron Man, and She-Thor. None of those are the correct names. But it's got all those on it. It's an XL, and I'm going to put this in a box. And because it makes nice padding, I'm going to fill this whole area inside it in that box with a bunch of other Loot Crate swag. So,
nice.
This is going to one of our patrons. Is there a certain level we want to say, Charles?
You know, I want to say at this point, no, maybe next year. Yeah, after we get into the next year. Because I know the next big thing we have coming up is the Cover-Thon coming up in November.
Right.
We're going through Dragon Con now, which is our anniversary. Maybe after Cover-Thon, we might start saying, you know what? You know, there's some really great levels of swag here. So if you want it, this is what you got to do. But for now, as long as you're a patron.
A paid patron.
A paid patron. Mm-hmm. Paid Pied Piper. If you get on patreon.com/ from the Helicarrier and you patronize us. I want you to patronize me. But if you just pledged your support, and what we did last time is I just downloaded the spreadsheet of everybody, and I gave extra entries to the higher level. So the baseline level is like 10 cents a show. That's your baseline level. That, of course, gets you into the Agents Only Lounge.
Mm-hmm. There's other benefits.
Paid member. But that gives you one drawing. But then the level 2 gets you 2 extra drawings. Level 4 gets you 4 extra drawings. And those are only levels right now. But it gives you extra chances. And I believe Greg Sword was a level 4. And he's the one who won the last box.
Mm, right.
I effing hate PvP right now. I am just dying for no apparent reason. It's just like, hey, we're going to act like you're a level 100 and put you up against level 5,000s. And, oh, they thumped you. What? You died? We don't know how that happened. I don't understand what it... How is my defense doing better in my offense? I don't get this at all.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Sorry.
Save it for the lounge. All right. Is it... should we hit the king?
Let's...
So to speak?
We need to hit something.
Good to be the king.
Here we go.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745, and this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. First of all, let me say I hope everyone's doing well, and I've been quite busy just getting my schedule straightened around, but things are getting better every day. As far as the game though, there have been tons of new things, just non-stop content, and I'm never going to complain about that. The only times I get nervous is when they end up running out. And then I'm just like, why didn't you just pace yourselves more or spread the content out? But with the Spider-Verse Spec Ops coming and more, I don't think they're going to be stopping anytime soon. So that's great for us. It gives us a lot to talk about and a lot of content to cover in videos. Speaking of which, the Spider-Gwen episode is going to come out most likely tomorrow. And then I do have something planned for this week as well. What I was thinking is, even though I'm going to make a level 15 video for the All Hail the King episode, I'll feature all the heroes I have at level 15 right now, or as many as I can fit. It'll somewhat be a preview video, and it definitely will feature a mix of heroes. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not leading the way as far as level 15s. I've been pretty busy leveling all the new heroes, so I haven't exactly focused on anyone from level 14 to 15, outside of a very select few. But at the same time, my flight deck has gotten a row of characters very close, so I won't have a shortage as far as training level 15 heroes soon. That's just another reason why I haven't been very concerned with it in general. I'm just going to continue trying to level the spider characters, which there is an abundance of, and it's hard to believe there's going to be even more. But what I'm really hoping for is a group boss, and I do think they're going to add that with the next spec op. Then another thing besides silver that I could use help on is my gifts are once again broken. And the only reason I'm mentioning it is because it seems to get fixed after I say something on the podcast. So let's hope that happens once again. Now, just to backtrack a little bit for a second, Captain America and Spider-Man 2099 are currently my heroes in training. So that means Cap is going to be level 15, and I know some of you are probably shocked that he wasn't done sooner. But then Spidey 2099 is going to be level 9, so I'm pretty excited about that. There will definitely be some PvP gameplay of him once he gets there. Then, like I was saying at the beginning, there has been some problems with my schedule. I've just been really busy. And because of that, it's held me back from making some different videos that I am really anxious about. For one, the Marvel Collector Core Secret Wars box was delivered last week, and I still haven't opened it.
No!
So I can't wait to do an unboxing this week. I also was lucky enough to pick up a few new comics, and while one of them isn't that new, it's the first appearance of Miss Marvel. And I really should do something like a weekly or monthly comics pickup video. That's something I've really given some consideration to, in addition to the comic cover collection videos that I haven't forgotten or given up on. I believe I'm close to finishing two collections. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully this month, you'll be seeing some new content. Also on Marvel Heroes, for those of you who don't play, but are still interested in it, and of course for those of you who do play, I recently picked up War Machine and Carnage as a team up, so I'm probably going to do something on them as well. I was just going to go ahead and get them to level 60 first, and then you could see all of their abilities. But yeah, with everything going on, I haven't leveled them that fast. In fact, I should have got War Machine to level 60 yesterday, but I was just too tired. But anyways, I just want everyone to know I'm going to continue growing the channel and come out with fresh new content. As far as today, there's going to be a Patreon update and thank you video, but it's also going to be a Q&A. I'm going to try to do more of these in the future, at least once a month, if not twice. So tune in if you want to see what questions get answered, and you can always feel free to leave me a question, and I'll try to include that in the next Q&A. That's going to be it for today's segment, but I want to thank you all for listening. Make sure you check out that Level 15 All Hail the King episode, featuring Iron Fist, Nerkod, and more. Until next time, good luck and take care. Now back to the hosts.
Thank you, King. Sorry, I was distracted for a second because I just dawned on me. I just realized I'm running the Skeptic. I don't like it. I don't like the Skeptic in my PvP because it doesn't do anything good for me other than that magic warding, which is supposed to stop meteorites falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just realized in a fight today, Skeptic hasn't moved for months out of my, you know, team up. Today, meteorites were pounding me. It just hit me. It's like, so maybe we got to watch. I just tell you, because I'm getting angry. I'll tell you, I'm getting angry. So I'm letting everybody know, just be careful playing PvP. It is a testing ground. I think I'm going to go against my normal PvP tactics, which is play hard, play often, and just do my five and be done, because whatever they're testing, I realize, is negating some of what we're doing in the game. Because that Skeptic should have absolutely kept me alive for the meteor storm, and the meteor storm just pounded me. And it didn't dawn on me that it shouldn't have hit me at all until just now.
I see what you're saying.
Just a little warning. They might, whatever they're testing might break some things. It might boost some other things. I don't know. But I am curious to hear from the Poke Professor.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, and this time around, instead of talking about a hero that people may have forgotten, or giving you another look at them to see their strength, I'm going to be going over some of the hidden stuff in the most recent patch that brought us pre-VP. To start things off, we got a small but much-needed nerf against the Age of Ultron uniforms in MAA, not only making their interrupting attacks happen less often, but also taking the number of times they could actually interrupt by over half. This means there should be no longer be so many matches where you're completely locked out of doing anything useful should you be up against Hawkeye or Quicksilver or an agent with their EISOs. The empowered PvP suits are apparently now a permanent feature for us agents to buy for 30 gold in the store, and I honestly approve of this. It allows those who weren't around or didn't make the ranking to be able to get it, and it's been more than long enough to allow it. Of the five available, anyone who's been watching my briefings will know how much I love the Infiltrator one for going through my missions with a counter-tank agent. Finally, it appears that the stalled effect that prevents us from spamming quick action items was reverted to the older model, allowing only one such effect to be used and all other items you currently use that have that feature being locked out. While I'm fairly certain this is an oversight and will be returned to the model that we had beforehand, I will have to personally state that I prefer this version simply because it forces the agents to think on their feet and not rely on the exact same strategy that everybody else seems to have. And with that slightly unpopular opinion out, I'll let you get back to our hosts, agents.
I get what he's saying. I think that's an interesting, definitely an interesting take on it. That it does force you to, instead of repeating the same pattern over and over again, you have to think about, okay, what am I going to do now? Because it's not working.
Right.
I don't think they did that on purpose, but after hearing this segment, they might be like, yeah, that's what we did. We meant to do that.
Right. We're just giving them ideas. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Let's see. What do we have next? Do we have any expanded universe news, Klotz?
No.
Nothing related to anything that we've been messing around with lately as far as comics or anything like that. We're getting close to fall shows coming back, I think. So yeah. There should be some excitement there.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash and Arrow.
Yep.
I've been watching season two of The Arrow, catching up. It's very, the entire show is very good. I've only seen season one and season two, so I understand like season three blows season two out of the water or something like that. But I'm excited to get back into that show. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, stuff's coming.
Cool. And we'll be talking about it here.
Absolutely. And Breaking the Panel is coming. We've done two episodes. We were going to do a third one today, but I have obligations that popped up, so we're not going to be able to do that. But and the Giant Size Team Up Network is coming along swell. Klotz and I got a preview of it today, and we're very excited to see what it's doing. And we'll have that launched, hopefully. I mean, the plan is by this coming weekend with Dragon Con, so... I know Ibbot's working really hard on that, and we're getting it coming along. I'm very excited about what's going on there.
We're close, exactly.
Yeah, man. When you guys see what's being done with this thing, it's it's Geek Central, and that's exactly the feel we were going for. Is cool. Geek Central? It's going to be awesome. So I guess then we're up to From the Fields.
From the Field. Let's start with Agent Avril. Says yo, FTH, Avern Avril, Agent Avril. Back again. Say, this is episode 104, right? Does that mean that it's, dare I say it, your 2-year anniversary? It is, yeah. We've completely forgot about that.
We did, totally.
It'll probably be official next episode, but has it really been 2 years already? But Playdom just accidentally awarded Angel to everyone just last week. Either way, congratulations. Anyways, little tidbit that may already be known. Aside from the literally cool ice boxes, the first 5 wins in PvP also award 10,000 silver apiece. So, Yeah, even though it's pre-VP, go forth and kind of be rich. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go resume farming the daily mission, all this newish gear, and on an EISO day, Agent Avril out.
Nice. I didn't realize it did 10,000 silver.
I didn't notice that either. I forgot about that, but that's great. Yeah, so really quickly on the first part, yeah, two-year anniversary was actually 2 years ago at Dragon Con that Charles and I realized that, hey, we both play Marvel Avengers Alliance, and wouldn't it be great to do a podcast? And then I said, yeah, go off and do one. I don't have time. And we all know how that worked out. But yeah, it's the 2 year anniversary from the launch of the show. So, and 52 episodes a year times 2, 104. So this would technically be the right episode. We'll do it next week, though, after Dragon Con. I don't know what we'll do. Probably nothing except say happy 2 year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charles and I should make it a mission to see how many of the 130 heroes in the game we can collect by taking photos of people cosplaying as them at Dragon Con. So, like, you know, we'll have a competition to see who can get the most pictures of heroes from the game.
Nice.
I'm knocking CDs off my desk because I've got an unwieldy stack here.
That I like it. I like it a lot. Challenge accepted.
All right. That. Okay. To expand upon that.
Okay. Yes,
we're going to have a contest in the lounge to try to hit the amount of individual characters you find. Now, duplicates don't count. So, like, if you find two Black Widows, still right. Just one.
There will be, like, 50 Black Widows.
Right, exactly. So I'll set it up in the lounge in the next day or so here, and we'll figure out a way to do it right.
Cool.
But yeah, basically you'll be able to throw in your prediction and we'll come up with a sweet prize for whoever gets the closest or right on the number.
I like that a lot. And what about alts? So like if I see a woman dressed up as Magic in the yellow and black uniform and then a woman dressed up as Magic in the soul sword uniform, does that count?
How cool were you to find that? It's gonna get too complicated.
That's just bragging points between the two.
If I see a null, guarantee we won't find any nulls.
So I got a question for Poke Professor.
Well, not Luke Cage null anyway.
I need a weapon or an AISO. Or I guess an EISO, but I don't recall an EISO being this. But I need a weapon that'll essentially lock this dodge crap down on somebody who has the cube. Because I can't smash this asshole because he keeps moving. I know there's weapons out there, and I know I could look it up. But Poker Professor's here. He loves to help us out. So, yeah, if you get in the chat room, throw me a weapon that'll get me past the dodge or any kind of... I know in blasters you can use the EISO that does the opposite of phase frequencies. Basically, dodge effects don't work. But I need something like an AISO or preferably a weapon so I can shoot this asshole in the face. Sorry. Yes, I'm taking it's a game, but I take it personally.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really kind of a bummer I didn't think about this sooner, because how cool it would have been for you and I to be dressed as agents. And, you know, and then get pictures taken with each of these characters, like we're, you know, like we're PvP teams or something.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Would have been great. Next year. Another 2016 idea right there.
All right, Klaus, you got the next one here.
Agent Cal writes in, "Hello, fellow Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Here's Agent Cal reporting. Now that we have the fifth weapon slot, I've done a frightening deduction. Producer Woods is actually Mephisto. How else do you explain that they're enticing us to unlock the new slot with all these new quick/free-action weapons? Regarding the twilight of MAA, I wish that when the sequel gets rolled out on Facebook, that Playdom gives us long-time players some kind of bonus to start the new game. A special weapon set, a whole team of characters for free, even just a little diploma saying congratulations on beating Marvel Avengers Alliance. A winner is you." See you around the helicarrier, fellow agents. Nice. It would be cool if they did some kind of bonus, you know, for people who played the first game when they launched the second game. I do not believe the second game will be on Facebook at all, though. That'd
defeat the purpose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm all but certain that Facebook gaming is dead as far as, like, major developers are concerned.
Yeah, You know, this is, just mechanics behind it. This is not Candy Crush. You know, it's not some simple overlay on top of a simple algorithm. I mean, there's so much that goes into this that we crash the servers almost every time we play the game day PvP. So if they were to say MAA 2 is coming to Facebook, I'd be like, nope, I'm not playing it. I'm not touching it. Mm-hmm. Now, to put it in Steam, that'd be cool.
Yeah, if they put it in Steam, if they made it available on the app stores for tablets and stuff, that would be solid. Right,
for Android and iOS.
But I'd like to see a PC port, too. I think it'd be a real mistake for them not to do that.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Agreed. So here is Agent Cage. Hello to all, Mr. Agent Cage, back again for your listening pleasure. I have got to say, I admired your balls doing the whole show without taking PvP break time last week. Well, apart from Brian sneaking out on a pretense of having to do something else, we all know that what you're really doing. I can never have sat through all those final hours hanging so perilously close to the cutoff point, so props to you for putting the fans first. On the subject of my own pleasure, I got the new hero, but I was more happy to pick up the new EISO from the PvP tournament, as it seems like it'll be the new hot property in seasons to come. How about the rest of you? Now you have your scrotums in hand. Have you decided which hero slot is going to be inserted to, or how you will be playing the field? I'm sure that there'll be new content by the time you get this letter, but I couldn't let myself forget that little joke. Peace out, Agent Gage. Of course,
it's Scootum, sir.
That's not
Scootums, yes.
He wrote it. I read it. It was perfect.
It's a shield.
All right, troll. Go back to your bridge. every EISO that comes from the PvP recently, which is just the Scrapper one and the Bruiser one, I put on my agent first and see how it works out. And then as I was going through Chapter 9, if I come up on a heroic battle, like with Beta Ray Bill gets it. And, you know, Angela got the Scrapper one. So, you know, I boost my teams that way. In PvP, Sandman actually has it because I want it to team up with his new EISO if I can get his new EISO. And I think that whole protect and get grit along with the Scotum and all the other jazz, I think it's going to make him super boss. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I would spend some freaking cash to get gold if I could buy two more of those and just run an all Bruiser team. That would make me sick. That would be the dumbest thing in the world, but I would take it. I would totally shut up, take my money moment on that. Right. What about you, Abed? How do you use it?
The new items?
The new EISO, the blue.
Well, I'm currently using it in my, I'm doing the blaster, am I doing the empowered blaster? Bruiser. I'm doing the, which uniform? I don't even know. I'm using it is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
But I'm using the Bruiser version of it. I'm not using the Scrapper one, which I think is actually considerably better. But it did make me finally change out of the tactician uniform, which I was using forever.
Now the question is
safeguard. There we go. The Bruiser.
Are you using the? Yeah, I was going to ask. Are you using the safeguard or the empowered versions of the suit? Because I know the empowered lets you do the free class boost.
Right, and the and then there's also, don't forget the empowered trench 2. Is that what it is? What's the one? There's one that gives you the double.
That's right. There was the double slots. A few of those put out. I think they were gold sale items.
They were specifically, there it is, the Empowered 2 trench. And the only ones of those I have are the Tactician. Oh, I do have the Bruiser one. You know what? I'll have to compare the stats on the unbuffed stats on the safeguard suit versus the empowered trench, because having two ISO slots obviously is a huge advantage.
Yeah.
The safeguard, though, you know, reduces damage by 25%, protects against single target and area attacks, and has the chance to apply cower with single target attacks.
Yeah.
And makes you immune to neutralized. So there's some playing around with it. It was funny. I just dropped it in by default and said, I'm gonna use the Bruiser safeguard suit. You know which suit I'm not using?
What's that?
the infiltrator's flight suit.
I don't think anybody's using that. I like that somebody put a suggestion. They don't want it fixed. They just want a badass infiltrator EISO to replace it.
Right.
Which would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I concur. Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of the suit, but apparently it's a technological issue. So.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because you have to presume for them to have the gall to actually release it, that they tested it, somewhere.
Yeah, not to be the super negative bro that I usually am.
Okay.
But it's been how many months since that item came out?
No, I get that. But, you know, what I'm saying is before you announce it.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I understand something slipping through the cracks and like, oh, man, we didn't test enough. Okay, sure. It's been, what, 2-3 months now?
Well, it had to have worked sometime, right? Or they wouldn't have said, oh, we got it working somehow, so let's announce that we're going to put it in as a weapon, or as a reward, rather. That's all I'm saying is, like, if it's a technological thing that they can't fix it, how the hell did it work in the first place enough for you to go, oh, we're going to put it in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the weird part. When you say, and I get that it might be a technological thing or a restriction. I don't need a flight suit. I like the EISOs better. You know,
fix the flight suit and give us an EISO.
I don't think that's
unreasonable.
No, I don't think so either. It's been long enough, and you know, the whole thing is that they're focused on all this new stuff that's coming out. They're focused on Spider-Verse Part 2. They're focused on getting Chapter 9 out, or they were. They're focused on whatever the pre-VP is testing, and I think they're saying. I'll bet they're saying that, yeah, the flight suit's something that we'll get to when we get to it, kind of thing. And I'd say it's even possible that they never get to it. They never
get. I mean, and the prices they gave us before was to smooth over the fact that this is something we won and we won't have it. Mm-hmm. So now it's there needs to be something else to say, okay, we're going to replace it. That's my take.
Right.
Hey, we still have time. Who's next? You're next, Ibbitt.
I'm next. Agent Surfer here. Two questions. First, why when websites give tips for ISO builds, they never suggest using any of the blue ISO? And the other question, if you can afford it, why wouldn't you just use reactive chaotic ISO? Oh, and the other question, if you can afford it, why wouldn't you just use reactive chaotic ISO on all of the heroes? Thanks for my question. There was a period, there's a comma and a period that are switched out on that, where it looks like the if you can afford it is related to the previous statement.
Yeah.
All right, let's address the first one. When websites are given tips for ISO builds, they don't suggest using blue ISO. There's a lot of different ISOs that usually don't get recommended, and it's because the other ones offer less of a trade-off for an ISO slot that gives you maybe not all the stamina or health that a blue one will give you, but give you most of it with an additional attack bonus or an additional defense bonus, things like that.
The real issue here is that the stamina and HP bonuses from those ISO pales in comparison to the armory bonuses from characters.
Mm.
So it's kind of like if your character bonuses are giving you 5,000 extra and everything, mm-hmm. those gems are only going to give you maybe collectively 1,000. Those aren't exact numbers. I'm using an example because I know numbers are much, much higher now than they used to be too. So that's the problem is that like for your investment there, you're taking something that you already get in abundance just by having a lot of characters leveled, and they're always going to be a much more drastic bonus. So what you really want to do is focus on something that's a little harder to get, which is generally the specific stats where those points values go a lot longer or a lot mm-hmm. farther, I should say. And that's generally why. As for the question about chaotic,
mm-hmm.
The straight split straight across the stats works on a couple characters, but not a majority of them. A lot of them are kind of specialized in their role, and you really want to accentuate what they're good at. For example, glass cannons, you know, you're going to want to pump up attack and just hit as hard as humanly possible because they're so squishy that trying to buff up their defensive stats generally isn't very effective.
It just, you know, they're just going to get squashed a little less, but they're still going to get squashed.
Right. You might as well focus on the thing that they're really good at and emphasize that rather than trying to compensate for the thing they're not good at. Totally agree. Like Captain America, Cyclops, they're well-balanced characters. So chaotic across the board is a great way to go. But yeah, I mean, if you're dealing with a hammer like Doctor Strange, who's admittedly a glass cannon, he hits hard, but he's easily taken out with a few focused attacks. The Hulk, another good example, like he is a hammer. You want to increase attack, increase accuracy, and maybe not so much focus on defense. On the Avengers Alliance wiki at .com, there is a user named Pot Kettle Black, and he's got a fantastic article all about this called One Way to Skin a Cat, Strategy for ISOing Heroes. And it talks about, you know, why you use ISOs to accentuate the heroes as opposed to compensate for heroes. Mm-hmm. And it's great. There's even a spreadsheet thing that he built that he walks you through the process of building. He just can't legally share the spreadsheet for some reason, but he walks you through the process of building it in Excel so that you can use that. And I use it when I'm ISOing heroes.
Artigan asks in chat, so you should stack evasion ISO on infiltrators? Not necessarily. It's really more of like the infiltrators are going to be innately better at dodging attacks. Usually it's usually built into their kit, but you're going to want to buff up their attack usually, because they're usually the characters you're using to assassinate. Basically, you're trying to take out characters with focused individual damage,
right?
Stuff like that. So it seems silly, like when we talk about this, I'll let you talk in a second, Brian.
That's all right.
Because we like there's so many characters where it's like just buff their attack. But there are a few characters that truly benefit from buffing other statistics, or just like not balancing or not putting any points into something that you normally would. For example, when I played Nico, I didn't put anything into hit points because she's a glass cannon, and I could save those points and put them into attack and accuracy and stuff like that, rather than, you know, putting them into the hit points, because she has the Back from the Brink ability, which means that she can get hit all day, generally, except for a few situations where they'll actually be able to kill her and absorb those blows until she comes back with full health again. So she would, you know, at that era when I was playing, fights were generally had a certain amount of rounds that you would go. So she would brink, and she would just keep taking hits and be fine. And then she would be full health and I'd use her, and the fight would either be over in my favor or I'd be pretty much already dead anyway. So it didn't make any points to put any more in her hit points.
Right.
That's just one example. So there are some corner cases where certain characters are like, because of X ability or because of this, they don't need this, or they do need this, you know? So you kind of got to play it by a case-by-case basis. But a lot of times, yeah. And dodge is like another one that you don't generally put a lot of points into because of the cube. The cube gives you the flat 20% bonus. And, I mean, I've played against people who have high dodge bonuses from having a lot of infiltrators and from stacking it up that way. Like one of the strategies with Kurth when she was dominant was to make her tanky as possible. Like upper defense really high, upper evasion really high, make her really difficult to kill so that her passives and her debuffs and everything just wrecked the other team. And she could, you know, she was almost impossible to kill generally. So yeah, Brian, your turn.
Yeah. But basically, I mean, you pretty much said it. Instead of focusing on whether this character is an infiltrator and so stacking evasion on it, think about how that character gets used. If they're a support character, if they're a tank, if they're a hammer, you know, damage dealers, you want to increase attack and accuracy. Tanks, you want to increase survivability. Support characters, depending on how you use them, you want to increase what they do best. So I think it's basically what you said.
Leave it to Klotz to get all the technicalities out of the
way. To take a nap the entire episode. Right. And then...
Until we ask a question about RNG or stats or statistics, and it's like, hey, wait.
That is where Paul excels. Yeah. I mean, he knows that part of the game better than anybody, I think. So I definitely appreciate
not anybody. Maybe that. Anybody on this call right now. But let's be fair. Before they tear the walls down and come with the pitchforks and torches, I am a mere filthy
catch. Paul's address if you disagree.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right, Paul, read the next email.
Agent Night Owl. Hey there, Helicarrier. Agent Night Owl here, and I have a gift for you. Finally, after years of flight deck training, Bishop is finally prepared for the ultimate mission, PvP. I love using Bishop in PvE, but you never see him in PvP. But I have finally found an awesome E/A ISO build for him. For his E ISOs, I have him using the Vengeful E ISO, big and fast, and the new Elite E ISO for Bruisers. For his A ISOs, I have Suppressing on L1, Manifesting or Gracious A ISO on L2, Calamitous on L6, and either Rising or Obsolescent on level 9. After just a few hits and a couple potential energy turn to realize potential, he can take out an entire team in one hit with his level 6 channeled energy. You're welcome. I just can't find the perfect teammate for him. If you guys can give me some ideas, that'd be great.
Ah, that's a good question.
What would you use? I mean, you'd want somebody who can protect him while he sets up all those attacks, because
you probably want to protect character because he's going to be it's going to take some setup,
right? So maybe Groot and Bishop,
and
maybe Star-Lord because of the chance of the extra turn, you can go ahead and set it up faster.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, the heroic made us use him with Cable, and it wasn't that different. Playing with Cable. So I wouldn't say necessarily Cable is a good one. Oh, you know what, though? The Mark of the Brotherhood as part of one of your weapons to go with him would be good. Because it boosts his stats, and I think it possibly will save him if he dies early or something like that. I haven't used Mark of the Brotherhood in forever, but I know it works only with mutants. It does some beneficial stuff with mutants.
Yeah. I'm just looking through his actions. Magneto is another possibility because of the shielding. Plus, they both kind of benefit from magnetized.
Captain Marvel with Bishop, says Agent Arenas.
Yeah. Oh, Captain Marvel and Bishop. That's interesting because then you can get some extra turns probably.
He also suggested Havoc, and I was thinking about Havoc as well. That's another possibility.
Bishop's the only one that uses potential energy, right? Like, actually has a benefit of it. Yeah, looks like it is.
Wouldn't Cosmic Cardinal combo with that team, too?
Yeah, because it should be putting out the potential energy. There's some ideas.
You can also check the Agents Only Lounge and start a conversation over there.
Yeah.
And people will be happy to contribute. They usually have a lot of great ideas over in the lounge. Yep. And if you're not a member of the lounge, you can become one. JK, I'm trolling.
By adding more cool stuff to those shelves behind Klotz, it will get
you. That's right.
In.
Yes, exactly.
That's not how that works.
But it could.
But it could.
Yeah. Agent Chief FDH writes in, gentlemen, and you too, Klotz.
What?
9 points. 9 freaking points separate me from Vibranium and Adamantium Glory.
Oh, man.
I was able to get in with an hour left to go on game day, sitting at high Vibranium. Fought as quickly as I could and faced several long, drawn-out Beast, which is, I guess, Pesty Beast, Enchantress battles.
Yuck.
Won my last fight, which would have put me over 15-50, but finished 4 minutes after the end of the tournament. Oh, come on. If you start a battle before the clock's out, you should get it to count. The new AOU twin alts worked great for me on offense during the final few days. Ended up getting both versions of the alts, but Blaster seems to be the way to go in PvP, at least until I get my Quicksilver to level 15. I paid a $50 MAA tax during the last gold sale, so I opened up the second training bay finally, plus got myself a few EISOs that I needed. Then when I saw the fifth slot available for just 64 gold, wow. Can't wait to see how fifth slot is going to change things. I had a decent setup last season that actually required me to sacrifice a cube, but now I can bring it back. And I still have about 75 gold left. Adamantium will buy the Hexenjäger. Adamantium will be mine once again. Oh, yes, it will be mine. Good luck hunting Blizzard lockboxes, boys. Agent Chief FTH.
You know what I love about this? Is that the Hexenjäger was widely considered to be garbage when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I mean, I bought it and I lamented it from the moment I did. You know, other people who had bought it weren't very impressed, but now it's actually a key part of it, potential key part of the meta, and can actually do some good work for you. So never say never, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Justin Bieber.
Oh, please, thank God.
No, but it unfortunately sets it up that, like, you know, any weapon that doesn't look good on the surface might become useful a year from now. And so right. It feels like, oh, great. Does that mean I have to buy every single item that comes out? Well, I'll test that theory for you.
Well, that is, to me, an inherent problem. Not a problem, a hurdle. An inherent hurdle to the game is you do have to pick and choose. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to do what Ibit does and pay the tax every time the gold sale comes up and stockpile gold, then you have the ability to test every weapon. But I can guarantee you and the King both could look mm-hmm. at your armories and go, well, that's never been good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of that stuff.
But
yeah.
That's the trap, though. It's like, but what if that hexadecimal glider bomb goober gun does this amazing right. thing now, or, you know, in 5 months from now? And you just kind of get stuck. Like, I still didn't buy the weather control device, mainly because everybody told me to, and I was like, no, I'm just not going to now.
I'm going to go because you told me to. I'm not going to do it. Me.
And it's a fine weapon. It is. It's a fine weapon that is competitive with the cube. But I also didn't have a lot of gold to spare during those times. And eventually the good ones do come back on sale, and that's the thing. So I hope that you don't feel cheated, because honestly, it's just part of how the game works. Is sometimes you miss a good weapon, and sometimes you spend the $50 and buy all the gold, and the weapon you get with it didn't turn out to be that great in the first place. So it is what it is. Any other advice, guys?
No, my advice is bad. Buy everything. It's bad advice. Don't do it.
Well, no, absolutely. If you can. And, you know, that's actually good advice, if you can.
Although I'm sure, with that. Again, I could look back in the armory and say, there is no way that item is ever going to get used. That's never going to be that's never going to be something that changes the meta.
Yeah.
But boy, sure, I'm glad. Well, I picked up got the Hexenjäger when it first came out. The Small Hadron Collider is just a lucky... You know, a lucky pickup for sure. I think that it's the exception that, I know that the exception proves the rule, but it's an example of when it works, and it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. So, all right, I think it is time to wrap our stuff up here. I know I've got stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, yeah, I'll give you Ibbitt's piece of advice. Don't collect your prizes.
That's right, yes.
Because Spec Ops is around the corner.
That's tip while we're waiting for Spec Ops. But don't let that make you forget to pick up your items. That's the problem with when I do it. It's like I usually pick them up in the morning, right, when I first log in. And it's like, oh, no, Spec Ops could come at any time. I'm not going to do it. And then 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock rolls around. I close up the computer, check in emails or whatever, and I forget to go back into Avengers Alliance and collect those items. So...
Yeah, I say, you know, just to balance it, because I agree. I see your point, and I agree. But my state of play is I will forget. So I just collect all my stuff at the front of the day. And if I hit a mission early on that says, collect from so many friends or whatever it is. I mean, it will. It'll say collect so many radios or visit so many friends. Then I was like, all right, I'll just play it tomorrow. I've still got Chapter 9 to farm and PvP. And,
right.
And it's fine. Because, mm-hmm. you know, unless the King's going on vacation, then we don't really know when it's going to drop. So
that's right. Yeah. I know. King, you need to go on vacation so we can make the Spec Ops drop.
So, Oh, man, it's going to be awesome coming up here next week. Emmett will be face-to-face with me, and we're going to be hanging out and doing some great stuff. And, of course, you'll be back home by the time we do the next episode of From the Helicarrier.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, for those of you in the Atlanta area or if you're coming to Dragon Con, we've tried meetups before. I think our audience is a little worldwide spread that it's a little difficult to get a good meetup going, like 5-10 people. And of course, the only time we're together is at these paid conferences that cost you money to get into. So unfortunately, we are saying, hey, if you want to meet up, we'll both be around the podcasting track from Friday through Sunday. I'll be there all the way through Monday, but I know you're leaving at some point Sunday afternoon, evening.
Well, Sunday morning, I'm leaving.
Sunday morning. Okay. Yeah. So Friday's your best bet. Around the podcasting track, it's at the Hilton Hotel in Atlanta, part of Dragon Con. You will need a one-day pass, but one-day passes are fairly reasonable. I think it's $25 or $30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Saturday's the most expensive day, so the rest of them are fairly, and even then, that's not that expensive. So we'll be more than happy to hang out with you and talk the game and you know whatever. I don't know anything else. So here is the out, and then Ibit will pass the plate.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibit on the Coverville podcast and Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.